This is Doug Miller. God's timing is not like our timing. What God is doing does not necessarily fit in with our schedule. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and it is a pure pleasure to be back one more time in front of this microphone and to speak and to know that these words are going out to who knows who. It's not my business to know who they go out to, and it's not really my business to tell anyone out there what they do with what I say. I will leave that to the Holy Spirit and to the Spirit of God, and for those of you who are praying for dialogue, I beg you, pray that God will guard the door of my lips and that this trumpet will not make an uncertain sound. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization, the sole purpose of which is to see this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support, the prayers of the people of God. And if you have been listening to Dialogue at any time, for any time, you have heard me say this. I can sit here and I can talk, but it will have no effect whatever unless the prayers of the Lord's people are behind this. You, if you are a believer, have direct access to the throne. Please pray for Dialogue and pray for me. The noises that I make are just noise without the support of the prayers of the saints and without the power of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. It is His business, the Holy Spirit's, to exalt and glorify the resurrected Christ. So please pray for Dialogue. And we would always love to hear from you. Delight to hear from our listeners, to know where you are, who you are, to answer any questions you might have, to provide you with any materials that we can, to do for you whatever we can, all free of charge with no strings attached. You would be surprised to find how few strings are attached to anything connected to Dialogue as far as us coming back and trying to get things out of you. We don't do it that way, never have, never will. Our mailing address, should you like to write, is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast, so keep your writing materials handy. If you wish to email, the email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to look at our webpage, you can do that too. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Just put that in and hit a return, and up the webpage will jump at you, and you can read about Dialogue and listen to the broadcasts that are on there. And all, once again, free of charge, no strings of any kind whatsoever. If you wish to call and talk to me, then we have, that's possible too. Our telephone number is 405, area code 405, 535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording. You leave a message. I will get back with you. I believe that does it for the preliminaries. One thing that I want you to all be praying about. Typically, every year, we will have a conference, a dialogue conference. And pray about this. It is usually in April. And we are just kind of laying the groundwork for that. And we will give you more information about that. It will be on a Saturday, an all-day Saturday thing. And I'll have more to say about that once we get the details firmed up a little bit. Okay, into the seventh chapter of Job. Job chapter 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I rise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro under the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Look, this guy is hurting, and there's no doubt about it. Now, let me ask you, when you are going through painful experiences, when you are knee-deep in trouble and up to your neck in misery and woe, and when you are crying out for release and relief, would you not agree with me that it seems to you the end will never come? I'll vow you do. Back, well over 50 years ago, I was in Bob and Yvonne Potter's home. And some of you out there remember Bob and Yvonne. Many of you, most of you probably don't. But they were a very prominent Christian couple for many years in this community. And Bob was with the Navigators. But this was before Bob was even with the Navigators. I was sitting in their home talking to Bob about the things of the Lord. And he said, let me show you a Bible verse here. And the verse that he showed me was Psalm 27, verse 14. And this is what it says. Bob had memorized this one. And the verse says this, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. My brothers and sisters, my experience is that one of the most difficult things that we have to do is learn to wait. Patience is clearly a virtue, and patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and we are admonished by every New Testament writer out there, practically. I mean, James does it, and Paul does it, certainly. Those are the ones that I can think of immediately, that we ought to have patience. Well, how does God bring patience into our life? He brings patience into our life by putting us in the oven, by bringing us through trial and tribulation. James tells us this very clearly. Paul tells us this in Romans 5. It is through trials that patience is built into the life. You've heard me say this, I'm sure, on here before, but I had a guy come to me one time and say, well, you know, I'm just not a very patient man. Well, wow, who did he think he was talking to? I could have told him that. That's true of me in spades. I am not a very patient man. When I want something, I want it right now. And, of course, when you are in trouble, and when you are hurting and you are praying for deliverance, it is doubly true. You want it now. But God may have things that he is doing in your life that require that you stay in the oven a little while longer. Let me ask you to think about Joseph. This story of Joseph is told, you know, down in the 40th and 41st chapters of Genesis there and on really to the end of the book. Joseph gets sold into slavery by his envious, hate-filled brothers. And down into Egypt he goes, and there he is bought by a man named Potiphar, and he goes into Potiphar's home, and God blesses Potiphar's household because of Joseph. And Potiphar can see very well that Joseph is a good man to have around, and he kind of gives him the run of the whole house. And Joseph is a faithful servant to Potiphar. But Joseph's troubles are just beginning, because Potiphar's, you know, lustful and evil and wicked wife tries to seduce Joseph, and you know how the story goes. Joseph will have none of it, and so she makes up lies about him, and Joseph, utterly innocent, winds up thrown into prison. Now he's been sold into slavery. Now he's in prison down in Egypt, and in prison he meets two men who are thrown into prison with him. One is Pharaoh's cupbearer, and one is Pharaoh's baker. They did something, I don't know what they did, but they made Pharaoh angry, and Pharaoh chucks them into the jail. And in the famous words of the old singing brakeman Jimmy Rogers, we're in a jailhouse now. And here they are, and didn't have a get-out-of-jail-free card either. So one morning they wake up, and they are both very sad and upset, and Joseph says to them, what's the trouble here? Well, they said, we've each had a dream that is troubling. We don't know what it means. And Joseph says, well, tell me. So the butler begins, the cupbearer, and tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph said, all right, here's what the dream means. In 3 days, you're going to get out of here and be restored to your position with Pharaoh again. And he says to him, Joseph specifically says to this cupbearer, when you are out of here, remember me. See what you can do for me on the outside, because I am in here for a reason that is totally unjust. I haven't done anything that would cause me to be put in here. So remember me when you get out of here. Well, of course, we know what happens. The baker, incidentally, Joseph told him what his dream meant too, and it didn't turn out so well for the baker. 3 days later, the baker is hanged, but 3 days later, the cupbearer is turned loose and restored to his position before Pharaoh, and the Bible tells us that he forgot all about Joseph. He didn't even think of him. He was apparently so happy to be out and back in his position, he didn't even think of Joseph. And Joseph was in jail for 2 more years. Now think of that one. He's innocent. He's totally innocent. And because of the wickedness of Potiphar's wife and the utter forgetfulness of this cupbearer, who is, you know, you'd think he'd have some gratitude, he just forgets. And here sits Joseph for 2 more years. Now let me ask you something. Do you think God had forgotten Joseph? Oh, no. God's eye was right on Joseph. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew where Joseph was, and he knew that Joseph wanted out of that jail. He knew that Joseph had been put in there for no good reason. Why didn't God get him out? I'm going to tell you why. Because the timing wasn't right. The timing wasn't right. There is an appointed time to man upon earth. Now, Job, in his, in saying that, he means strictly that, you know, you have so much time. You come into this earth, you're born, you die. And let me tell all of you something. Job is exactly right. You have an appointed time on this earth, whoever you are. And your time is not going to go beyond that. You have so many hours, you know, seconds, minutes, and when your time is up, that's it. Joseph on the other hand, had so much time that he had to spend in that jail. And the reason why is simply this. I want you to hear me and hear me carefully. God is doing a work in this world that has a great deal more to do with, it's more important than just me, okay? It's not about me. It is about His Son. His Son is going to be exalted, and His Son is going to be glorified, and His Son is going to sit on the throne of David, His Father, in the millennial kingdom, and rule and reign with a rod of iron, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And friends, it's just that simple. And what God is doing in this world and in this earth right now has to do with the glorifying of His blessed Son whom He loves. Now you say, well, doesn't God love me? Yes, God loves you. And yet, what God is doing in this world has a lot more to do, once again, than what He is doing just with me or just for you. And His timing is always absolutely right. Are you living through a difficult time right now? Some of you are. If you haven't, you will be. Just stick around. When this happens to you, if it's happening right now, listen to me. When it happens, remember what I have said. God's timing is not your timing. Sometimes we have to learn to wait. And in God's timing, He will bring you out of the situation that you are in. If you are born again and you are saved, the pain that you are going through is something God knows about. And He has not forgotten you, and He does love you, and He intends only good for you, and I mean that. And even the pain and the affliction that you may be living through right now is for your good, and that's how God intends it. Now look at Job here. Yes, he is hurting. Yes, in a sense, he is just like Joseph. He is locked up in prison, and he has not, as far as he knows, done anything to be in there. And ultimately, what this is going to come down to, he's going to begin accusing God. He's going to begin, and he's careful about how he does it, but he's going to begin accusing God. But right now, he is simply crying out in his pain. He wants the pain to stop. Well, the book tells us that God sits over His people like a refiner sits over the silver to refine it. He knows exactly how long to leave it into the heat, and He knows when to take it out. And Job needs to learn a lesson, and it's a lesson we all need to learn. Wait. Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk about and not faint. Let's go back, pick it up at the 7th verse of the 7th chapter. Remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. Job, none of this is true. None of this is true. It is true to a degree that your life is passing away as the wind. It is not true, Job, that your days are spent without hope. It is not true that your eye shall no more see good. It is not true that you are passing away to be seen no more. You're going to stick around for quite a while, Job, and you are going to be blessed beyond anything that you can imagine. Job, do you hear me? Well, of course, Job doesn't hear me. But I'm just imagining that if I were there, I could tell him this, and I hope that he would listen. Job hasn't. He is going to be blessed beyond anything that he can imagine. And it is a matter of time. God is doing something here, and it is important that it be done right. Let's read some more of what Job has to say here. He says in verse 9, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Job, not true. My Lord Jesus Christ went down to the grave, and he did come up. And because he came up, I, though I go down to the grave, will come up. I will come up in newness of life, and I will come out up in the image of my blessed Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we shall be like him and with him forevermore. Now, Job is speaking from a position where he doesn't know these things. Here is a Gentile, and the full truth of everything God is doing is something that escapes Job. But I can assure you, I can absolutely guarantee you that Job is with the Lord right now, and he is conscious, and he is alive, and he is blessed with a blessing that he can never have imagined back then would ever be his. And in the resurrection of the just, Job will be there. And he will, I am sure, look back at this and say, well, that's what I thought then, but I have learned something now. Let me ask all of you who are listening to me. When the trumpet sounds and when the Lord descends with a shout to call his people up out of the graves, and when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, when we shall be transformed, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, those of you who are listening, where will you be? Where will you be? What are you trusting in, and what are you hoping in? Is it your hope that somehow it'll all come out okay just because, you know, that's the way it happens on the television shows you watch? Let me tell you something. If you are not saved, you will be missed. You will not be caught up. You won't be changed. And your end will be the great white throne and the lake of fire. It doesn't have to be that way, friend. You listen to me. Jesus Christ, my Lord, died for you. He died for you, and the offer of eternal life went out long ago. He that will, whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He desires nothing more than for you to come to him and take him as your Lord and Savior by grace through faith. It is a free gift. Why don't you take him right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.